Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Okay, we'll move on because I'm delighted to be joined in the studio now by the singer Tolu McKay. Hi, Tolu.
Hello.
Your rendition of Danny Boy was hailed, I think, as one of the standout moments of the St. Patrick's Day celebrations this year. Let's have a quick listen first.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are falling. Tis you must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow.
Do you know what? I kind of hate that song, and I had listened to it already, but just hearing it there on my headphones, mm-hmm. There's something deep there. That's you in the John F. Kennedy Center for Performing Arts. How did all that come about?
So we recorded the vocal take, I'd say like maybe 3 weeks prior to when I even knew that I was going to be, I didn't know that I was going to be going to Washington at all. They kind of told me, I think maybe 2 weeks before, which was amazing. It was nice to kind of keep it a surprise. So I was just doing it intentionally for the video at first. And I kind of did a bit of research. They gave me a reference, which was the Sinead O'Connor's Danny Boy in 1993. Yeah. And it was incredible the way she sang it. But again, I'm not Sinead O'Connor. Yeah. So you have to find a way to do it your own way. So I kind of got reference of like what the song was about, you know, about a man who was talking about his son. I think that he lost the war. I'm not sure. But with that reference, I was like, okay, this song is quite sad. But I suppose whenever I'm singing a song, I have to feel it. So I like worked with my sound engineer, I worked with my vocal coach, I worked with everybody to make sure we got it as perfect as possible. I like to be quite intentional whenever I do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh, you got right inside that.
Thank you.
And like it's kind of reminiscent of the moment you famously sang the Saw Doctors in 17 a few years ago and everything exploded for you. Do you worry that for a lot of people, they'll think that this is what you do? Like, that you
and it's so funny because I'm like, I get asked to do like a thing. And amongst this one thing, there's other things that I've been doing.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I suppose with like Danny Boy and also N17, there was like a lot of like push towards it because there's other things that they were trying to like do for that song or what it meant for like the country. So it's always out of my control in that regard. And as me as an artist, like I'm still developing and working on what my own sound is. But I've been really enjoying the process so far because it's been giving me time to work in the background while you know, people are also telling me their story about like, you know, their parents or them emigrating to a different country years ago and what that felt like for them. So I felt like with Danny Boy now, there's a certain type of like sentiment where there's a connection. And I think with me being like Nigerian, like coming here in Ireland, being black, a black woman as well, I find people seem to kind of look and like, because they get some form of like emotion that draws from them. They question and they're like, gosh, I don't know how it makes me feel, but I feel something. And then I feel like it kind of jogs back a memory. And I suppose it makes us realize more than often that we're all quite the same. And we all kind of want to feel, we all feel the same thing and we all just want to be understood.
Yeah. So when the N17 happened and everything blew up and everything, how have you been since then? You became very well known very quickly. So
yeah.
I've
been fine. I think I've been trying to take my time day by day. I'm learning to be more conscious and more present in my everyday rather than like thinking 5 years ahead and trying to like, because I've always just been like a really hard worker and I like to like make plans to achieve like my goals. That's just how I've always been.
Yeah.
So when things don't like, when things are still working in the same way, but it feels like out of my control, I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? But I had to like learn, no, this is a positive thing. And it really made me understand like other people's stories, because a lot of people got very personal with me very quickly, like in my DMs, and which was very overwhelming, but in a good way as well.
Okay.
But it also taught me how to kind of have boundaries with things like that.
Because you were certainly the receptacle for everybody's stuff. Yeah.
And I'm quite empathetic and very emotional myself, hence why I'm learning how to channel that into my music and tell my story. But I think for the first time, it kind of challenged me that I haven't been telling my own story. I haven't been forthcoming with sharing my stories. And here are people giving me their own stories. So whatever I'm going to put out next, I really want to be forthcoming into bringing people into my life, because I feel like a lot of people allowed me into theirs.
What is your story that you haven't been telling?
Just, you know, my life, my upbringing, what I like, what I don't like, what I enjoy, what I don't enjoy, things that I've endured, things that I've overcome, you know. It's easy to kind of glaze over things and, you know, be like, oh, everything will be fine, or have a hit or a bop. But to really like go into like specific topics is what I'm learning how to channel. Like I want to be more in control with how I want to tell my story from now on moving forward.
When you say in control, is that like moving into something like the music business where the artist can often lose control?
I'm definitely I'm learning how to like take back my own, like, I don't know what to call that, take back my own reign or like my own thing. But also how to delegate wisely. I'm learning that I'm not just an artist, I'm also an entrepreneur, because I've been, since 2020, since I decided to quit my job and focus on music, I've been doing it full time. I don't know how I've survived, but I'm surviving. So I've learned how to like, you know, work and figure out how to like figure my expenses working with a band, how I want to create like a stage, like my setting, everything. Like I work with every single person in that regard. I don't necessarily like people only giving me like their ideas. I want to make sure that I also include myself into all of that, because at the end of the day, I'm seeing myself as like a brand and where I want to get to. I want to one day win a Grammy, get all the stuff I want to achieve.
Yeah.
So like I have to learn how to get there by doing the right things now.
So you're pretty ambitious, and yes. I've seen you say you're a very ambitious kid as well. Is it kind of, we have this notion, the Irish were like this and they went abroad as well, that the kids of immigrants, the parents really push them.
Absolutely,
to,
because I think what our parents want is for us to have a better life. So they push us to be as good or as great as possible, because now they're showing, they're like, look, you have all these opportunities in front of you. We didn't have this growing up. So make the most out of what you can. And don't ever feel like you're limited or the capacity of what you can achieve is capped, because what they came from was much more less than what we have now. So I think there is a bit of push in them trying to make us as ambitious as possible or successful.
And listen, were you encouraged in school and that to be ambitious and to dream big? Because now, look, it's like 30 odd years since I was in the Irish school system. But I wouldn't have said that like ambition and follow your dreams was something that was encouraged back then.
I knew that education was a way out for me. But I definitely will give credit to my teachers for sure. Especially in my secondary school. So before I went to Tullamore College, I was in Wilson's Hospital School. Crazy school. But I was like...
It's a fine school. Yeah. steady now.
But what's it called? So I really like, for example, my English teacher, he was brilliant. And I think it was the first time that I kind of got like challenged a bit. But also the regime of that school was like trying to kind of make you perfect, always be like good. But when I went to Tullamore College, it kind of made me understand how You don't always have to be perfect. You don't always have to get the best score. Like, there's different ways of learning as well. And then that's when I was more introduced and getting comfortable with, like, music and getting comfortable with art and expressing myself differently through, like, artistic means in theatre.
So, look, let's just say for the record, both fine schools, but the second one suited you better, okay?
Absolutely. That's
it. Yeah, yeah. And come here, you sang gospel in the church as well. Which,
yeah, I grew up like singing in the church. That's always what I've done. Yeah, I didn't. It was normal. Like, being in the church was a normal thing for me. Until I needed to find my own voice. But
I'd say it's a great training ground, though, is it?
Absolutely. You learn, like, no one's gonna come and save you up on stage. You have to, like, you're on the spot. Loads of people are looking at you. You have to figure it out. Make up a song if you need to make it up, but make sure you're on beat and you're on time.
Yeah. Are the audience pretty demanding in the old gospel church situation? Yeah, they expect it to be good, do they?
They expect it to be moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's your job was to make people feel. And I think that's exactly what I want to do with, like, my music. I want people to feel. I think it's important. There's no point in me singing if you're not going to feel the emotion of what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. So that's what you took from it. You brought the spirit with you there, I believe.
Yeah. I think I've just kind of always had it, but I didn't know until, like, I started talking to people about it. I was like, yeah, definitely stems from that for sure.
Yeah. Listen, I saw you say as well that, so you're kind of ambitious kid and everything, and you talk about I'm going to win a Grammy and everything. You were shy as a child. I'm always interested in shy people and in how they kind of grow out of it, or do you just develop techniques around it?
I'm much more introverted than people think. I even had to do a personality test because I was like, oh my God, who am I? I don't know who am I? But I was shy because I don't think I was given the freedom to express myself. So I learned very quickly to just keep quiet and to kind of repress myself, because when you're open or you're different in a space where there isn't more people like you, you kind of shut down or reduce yourself to kind of fit in. So there was a lot of that going on. And also being raised to be, like, very Christian-like, very good girl, also has its ways of imprinting you to be quite quiet and shy and a bit repressed. So, and then with secondary school, the first one, like, they changed, like, my name and, like, that
okay,
was...
leave them alone, yeah.
But, like, for things like that, you know, you kind of shut down who you are and you don't realize that's what you're doing until you are... Like, I didn't realize how much a name is so important. So when I went back to my other school, that's when I kind of gained a form of confidence. And then music was a way to allow me to express myself, but also was a mask at the same time. So it's now that I'm really, like bringing both of those people together and understanding who I am fully as a person.
Have you been doing a lot of work in the last couple of years?
I think it's
kind of integrating everything. 100%.
I don't think growth, like, stops. I think you just continue to evolve. I think that's what it means to be human. Going to therapy was a very good choice for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It just allowed me. Allowed me to kind of things that you wouldn't necessarily talk about or know that you were, that made you who you are today, is things that would be brought up. And the way you survive to be sometimes no longer serves you. You don't know why you're acting the way you're acting. So you have to kind of learn, okay, this served me because I needed to be that for a point in time. Okay. But now that I want to achieve greater things, that can no longer serve me. So how do I learn to break that down and learn new habits?
I think part of that in the broader scheme of things as well, and I don't understand this very well, okay, so you can explain it to me, is that part of it presumably is owning your identity and who you are and everything. Can you explain to people the kind of, there's a Black Irish identity that I guess your generation are having to almost invent in a way, are you?
Yeah, and it's definitely our work to do as being Black and also being Irish. There's, how can I explain this? Like, for example, those that are in America that are Black and American, African American, they have their own like identity. They have like years of, you know, molding their sound, molding who they are, molding how they want to like show up in society. Same as like the Black British people, like they have their own slangs, the way they move, the way they dress, the way they act. And I suppose with us being here in Ireland, like it's still going to take years for us to like have our own like understanding of what it is that we are. But as we're figuring that out, I think the lingo is going to continuously change, or the understanding of what it means to be Black Irish will change.
Okay.
But it is for us to define, and it's for us to understand and keep learning for ourselves. Because, for example, my generation is so different from my younger sister's generation. Same with how she's different from the younger, the different generation. So even what
okay,
that
so
means,
you're out of date already in terms of Black
I
Irish.
Feel like
it's,
that.
It's moved on.
So
okay,
like,
boomer.
So I feel like it's for everyone. Like it's not just like my work. It's for like everyone in the Black community, for us to define what that means for us, and to continue having the conversation, and to keep showing up, and to keep representing wherever we can, because it will help emulate or explain what it is that we are.
Okay, do you know that? And again, look, if these any of these are stupid questions, you can tell me, right? But one thing that strikes me about it, just from a cursory kind of knowledge of the music or whatever, is that it seems to me in a way that, like, when I was growing up, we spent our time running away from kind of Irishness and Irish culture and all that stuff that had come before us. It feels as if the Black Irish, a lot of you are kind of running towards that a bit. Is it because, like, when you're not from here, you need more to kind of throw yourself into it, that I could take it for granted, that I could throw
Absolutely.
It away? Yeah?
I mean, for example, giving you the context of people that emigrated elsewhere, they're Irish. When they go to America and they're Irish, they want to show that they are Irish, don't they? They do that quite often.
Yeah.
Ah, sure, there's just a pub over here that's called this or this called that. Like, they're really proud of their heritage and where they're from. So, like, us Black people coming into Ireland, we also want to, there's a lot of like things that we want to identify to like solidify our ground here, especially when like being the minority, not everyone around you looks like how you do. So you try to grasp to what you feel is comfortable to you. I mean, being in primary school, secondary school, where you had to learn Irish dancing, you had to learn Gaeilge, you know, some, like, I have cousins that did their leaving cert in Irish. Like, that's crazy to me, but it's amazing all the same. So, and no one like around the world probably has that same type of upbringing. So it's I think it's important that they also share all the sides of them, wherever they're from in Africa, be it Nigeria, wherever, Congo, that they also bring that side of them. Because us, like our parents, they came here, they always want to make sure that we don't forget where we also came from, because there's so much history, there's so much like to learn from their lands as well.
So what's your relationship with Nigeria like?
Oh, I try to go every year. Like, yeah. I like majority of my family's over there. Like, it'd be silly of me to just be like, oh, I don't know anything from there. Like, no, I love the language, the food, the culture, everything. And I'm both.
Yeah. And what do you take from Nigeria, do you think?
Everything. My name.
Really?
Everything. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely everything. I want to find a way to even incorporate that into my music, as well as like the things I've been learning with like Ireland. There's a lot of similarities with Nigerians and Irish, and Irish people, actually.
In what way?
For example, Guinness. 100%. Nigeria is I don't know if it's outside of like Europe, it's one of the biggest consumers of Guinness, by the way.
Jamaica as well, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
That's gas. Yeah, so that's one. And then even like back, like cultural things, like how you like harvest and deities and gods and stuff like that. There's a few similarities with how we understand like harvesting and cult, like understanding like deities and gods. But I don't know, I feel like a lot of Irish people don't like to talk about that.
Do you mean the kind of connection with the earth and the seasons
and
the land and fertility and all that kind of thing? Yeah, mm-hmm. I suppose like when you get down to the level of mythology,
mm-hmm.
back to like when you take Danny Boy and strip it down to an essence, that's an essence that it's the same for you, as you were saying, as it is for all of us.
Yeah.
Listen, part of your part perhaps of your kind of nod to Africa is, I know you start all your shows with the same song, don't you?
Yeah. So recently, I kind of change it depending on where I'm at in my life. But at the moment, what I've been starting my shows with is a song called Atuaba. It's a song written by Tony Allen, who was Fela Kuti's drummer. He's passed now.
But people will know him from, he was involved with lots of artists over the years. Well, he worked with Damon Albarn a lot and different people, didn't he, in the last few years? Yeah,
so I was introduced to that song, I think 2017, when I was doing something for Africa Day. And we were supposed to sing it, but it was really difficult. Like, it's a very tough song to sing, unless you're like Yoruba, which is my tribe in Nigeria, and which is the language as well. But it's very poetic. It's almost like a poem or a prayer, basically talking about like, no matter how hard or tough the road may it be soft or may it be easy, may the journey be easy for us. So it kind of, and it's a very good exercise vocal warm up, honestly. So when I'm singing it, I'm like, okay, my voice is okay. Let's get it. Let's do it.
And it's very short.
It's quite short. I think it's like a minute and 30 seconds.
So you'd have time to do it now?
No. Nope.
Are you ready? No.
No.
No. Okay. Okay. Listen, before you go, I love your style. I think everybody thinks you're super style.
You.
But it's I saw you took part in that RTE production, A Note for Nature, which is kind of environmentally connected. Mm. You're also very against fast fashion and into recycling, upcycling, all that. Yeah.
I like to be like, everything that I do artistically as an artist, I like to be involved. So there's an incredible designer called Claire Garvey. She's brilliant. She's the one that I normally go to for really dramatic, ethereal type of fashion focused looks. So she's the one that I went to. And I suppose I didn't know what I was doing was like called sustainable fashion, but what I really like to do with her, like, I'm not going to buy all these clothes and just have them stored in my cupboard and not, I mean, only wear them for like one show. I think that's silly and it's a waste of money. So I'd prefer to like go and rent the pieces that I need and, you know, pay for the time that I have the clothes and give it back. And I think it's a good way of like recycling, if that's it. Mm. But I don't think it's recycling either. But then again, if you want to...
Circular economy.
It's like... at the beginning of the year, I realized that I had so many clothes that I hadn't like done anything with for like years. I gave like almost 3 bags to Oxfam and I was like, this is ridiculous. 3 bags. And I still haven't finished like offloading some of the clothes I have. So I like to, as much as possible, I think it's good to like decompress and take out as much, because I think just spiritually as well, I think it's good for you to cleanse and let new things come in.
Yeah. Until you win all the Grammys and then you'll have all the clothes. You'll be a diva with wardrobes full of them.
They'll bring them to me, but, you know, we'll wear them for pieces and then we'll see if we want to give them out or, like, sell them. We'll see.
You have some concerts coming up?
I do, yes. I'm actually going to be performing in Estonia at the 12th of May. And then in June, for the June 16, I'll be performing at Beyond the Pale, which is at Wicklow. So I'll be doing that. And then... As the months go by, I'll be sharing more.
Have you new music? You haven't released any music in a little while, have you?
Yeah, no one has noticed, which is great. I think I've been. Because, again, I really, really want to make sure that I'm so excited about what I'm like currently doing. I'm getting more personal about like my own stories that I want to share. I'm trying to find the right team. I'm trying to find the right producers. If I'm going to share something so precious and so sensitive and excellent, I want to make sure that I do the best justice to it. Because, again, people sharing their own stories to me and being so, so sensitive, I want to be able to give this out, but also know that it's the best of the best that I could have ever done. So down to the quality of the production, down to the quality of the videos, down to the quality of the styling, even down to my vocal production. I've even learned how to do that too. So in the background, I've been working my ass off, learning how to write better, learning how to sing better, learning how to dance better, do better. Yeah.
So when are we going to see the fruits of that?
Ooh, I hope that we can start seeing trinkets of it before the end of the year. I hope. But if it doesn't happen before the end of the year, next year is there as well.
Okay. Tolu McKay, you're amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.